It is my pleasure to present.
Good morning and welcome to
Jay and Matt in the Morning.
Starring
Matt George,
Jay Mars, and your phone calls on the Fire Wings hotline at 1-800-920-1140. Text in on the Jiffy Lube text line at 44-1140. Now, strap in and sit down. Here's
Jay and Matt in the Morning. Dave is back tomorrow. Get ready for 3 hours of Is a Hot Dog a Sandwich Talk. Ugh.
Just had to get that in there, right, Voice Lady?
Voice Lady knows.
Voice Lady coming in hard today.
I'm just saying, man.
Voice Lady, a lot less gentle than Voice Guy.
Carmichael Dave has been out for over a week, which means when he comes back, he has to recap everything that happened, including, Jay, the hot dog eating contest. So I know you're gearing yourself up, man.
I look forward to it because nobody breaks down a hot dog eating contest quite like a guy who eats hot dogs.
It is gross.
It is gross, but he will have
the intricate,
detailed analysis of hot dog eating.
I'm convinced.
You don't get it anywhere else.
I'm convinced there's a Joey Chestnut picture up on his wall somewhere, or he has a hot dog eating hockey jersey.
Yeah, I would. You know, I've never asked him because there's so many different hot dog paraphernalia out there, for lack of a better term. I wonder how much of it he actually owns. Does he have like one of those actual like hot dog toasters? Have you seen those?
No.
Okay, so they're a real thing. It's a toaster, and you put the buns in and the dogs in. Each have their own little separate thing, and they can cook like a...
Okay,
like,
that's pretty sick.
Yeah, that's a thing.
That's awesome.
I've never asked him if he has one.
Are you a... How do you like your hot dogs? Do you grill them? Do you boil them? Or do you do stovetop?
All the above.
Okay.
I don't really... I prefer... My favorite hot dog is off the grill.
Yeah, mine is
too. That's mine. But I'm not really... I will eat a hot dog pretty much any way you make it.
Hot dogs, brats, or hot links? What's better?
In this order, and it all depends on where you go, I am a hot link guy first.
Yep.
Followed by hot dogs, and then brats. But brats and hot dogs are interchangeable depending on how you get them and how you prepare them.
Certain brats are phenomenal depending upon what they're flavored, but this is way too much time on hot dog talk. Right. You will get that when Dave is back tomorrow.
Yes, and just one more thing. When it comes to brats, remind me during the break, again, because we're not saying anybody's business, I will tell you where to get the best brats in Sacramento.
I'm in.
Not store packaged. I mean actual someone. They're amazing.
You might have to share with the YouTube chat, though. They're going to be mad. They don't like secrets.
Nah, they don't get this information. Soundgarden right now, please.
Suckers.
Soundgarden.
Soundgarden.
The cuts and clips that are catching our eye today.
Soundgarden.
It's time to go round the world with Soundgarden.
Getting into my glove and pulling me down to throw the up kicks. I was trying to let Herb know that. This guy's a dirtbag, man. And everybody booing, you can kiss my whole ass.
Dustin, is this in any way anticlimactic for you, or are you happy about this victory?
Karma's not a she's a mirror, and you know, this guy's pressed, said the wrong and I've been busting, and sometimes these things happen, and nah, I beat the guy.
So I know those comments are 3 days old. That story is not dying, though, and Matt, we're going to talk way more about that coming up next segment in 3 for Madness.
It's heating up.
It is heating up. It is ugly. I love his quote, by the way, and I'm going to use that. Karma's not a you-know-what, it's a mirror. That's a beautiful quote.
I've never heard that.
Me neither.
And it sounds like a saying, but I've never heard of that.
Yeah.
Which I actually really like.
Those were Poirier's, you know, post-fight comments again, but this story is not done. There is a lot more meat on this bone. We're going to talk about it next segment in 3 for Madness. Right now, though, cut number 2.
Soundgarden.
There it is.
How long do you see yourself playing for the Lakers, and how cool is it playing for the Lakers? A great storied franchise.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, listen, I truly hope that I can finish my career with the Lakers, and how many years that is, if it's 4, 5, 6, whatever, 7.
There we go.
You know, I hope I can continue to play the game. You know, I love being in L.A. My family loves being in L.A. Being with a historical franchise like the Lakers is something like, it's like me, you know, being in Space Jam now. I never thought it'd be possible. You think about Kareem and Magic and Wilt and Jerry West and Elgin Baylor, Kobe, Shaq, all the whole list goes on.
And
so,
Louis Cage. You know Louis Cage?
The great Louis Cage.
Ew.
He said 4, 5, 6, 7. You know what that means.
Ew.
He's leaving in like 2 or 3.
No.
He did it once, he'll do it again.
Here's when he will leave Los Angeles. I have maintained this, and I will continue to maintain this. LeBron James will be a Laker until another team drafts Bronny. Once Bronny is drafted somewhere else, it is bye-bye LA.
I 100% agree with you, and I'm so glad you brought that up, because I was going to say, I think Bronny is going to be really good, just based off, I don't scout him enough, so I don't know where he's going to
be. Oh, you're not in Bronny's games?
No, I don't know if he's going to be like a number one overall pick. I don't even know if that's been projected.
Dude, he could be a second round pick for all we know.
Whatever. I want to see LeBron and his son playing on the same team. I really want to see it. So you're 100% right. Whether it's Bronny getting to LA somehow or LeBron going wherever his son is, it needs to happen, and gut feeling says it's going to happen.
Oh, it'll happen. I think that is LeBron's ultimate goal, because think about it. From a accomplishment standpoint in the NBA, he doesn't really have a whole lot left to prove in that sense. I mean, I'm sure there's a part of him that wants to get 6 rings just to match Michael. Hell, I'm sure he wants 7 to surpass him, because when you're a competitor and your, you know, legacy is arguably the greatest of all time, you want to make sure to cement that, and that's one way to do it. However, the one thing he can hold over any NBA player, it doesn't matter how great they are, is no one has ever played with their own kid.
Yeah.
And LeBron has set himself up in a way where his body, while it is showing fatigue, obviously, with the injuries he had last year and then 2 seasons ago, like, yes, but let's not get it twisted. LeBron's body is not broken down.
He honestly might have 2 or 3 max ring-chasing years left where mm-hmm. it's like, okay, it's LeBron, you have to put him in the title conversation, and then there can be just 2 years of victory parade LeBron where he just is playing to play. And mm-hmm. and it doesn't matter if his team is a playoff team, a championship team or not. It's just LeBron James at the end. Kind of similar to how Kobe was in LA, although I know Kobe wanted to actually win. There's, like, I'm not saying Bronny has a golden ticket, and I'm not here to get into that conversation, really. And, of course, barring off-the-court speculation that we don't need to deal with, I wonder what Bronny has to do to not make it. Like, if he's a decent basketball player because he's the son of LeBron James, is he a shoo-in for the NBA? Like, I wonder if, and I'm not trying to take anything away from him.
Of course not.
But it's like, the NBA almost wants that marketing. We want that moment of LeBron playing with his son in the NBA. So, unless Bronny is a terrible, terrible basketball player,
which he's not,
he's going to get in, right?
Yeah. Like, no matter what. Even if he's a second round pick, like, it doesn't matter. He will have a spot on a roster, and it sucks because to put it this way, but it just kind of is what it is. He will always have a spot on his roster as long as his dad's going to play next to him, at least for a couple seasons in the NBA. Now, I think he'll be, well, I shouldn't say I think. I hope he'll be good enough to, you know, create his own brand, journey, whatnot. But, like you said, the marketing aspect of that, and the NBA don't care where it happens. Like, if Orlando drafts Bronny James and LeBron signs with the Magic, that story is being told no matter what market you're in.
I will say that's true, and I will say this, though. After LeBron gets his year or two playing with Bronny and decides to retire, that is a hell of a shadow for a young man to live in and live up to. And I don't know if anybody can ever live up to LeBron James, but good luck, Bronny.
Nah, nobody can, and I hope he doesn't feel that pressure, too. I just hope the kid enjoys playing basketball. Speaking of basketball, Team USA hasn't been enjoying playing it at all, and Greg Popovich had thoughts.
Soundgarden.
It's definitely noticeable when you're on the floor.
Let me also answer that question. You know, you asked the same sort of question, the same family of question last time, where you assume things that are not true. When you just mentioned, you know, blowing these teams out, that's never happened. So I don't know where you get that. Can I finish my statement? When you talk, are you going to let me finish my statement or not? So you'll be quiet now while I talk, and then I'll listen to you. When you make statements about, in the past, just blowing out these other teams, number one, you give no respect to the other teams. And I talked to you last time about the same thing. We've had very close games against 4 or 5 countries in all these tournaments. So the good teams do not get blown out. There are certain games that might happen in one of the tournaments, in the World Championship, the Olympics, where somebody gets blown out. But in general, nobody's blowing anybody out for the good teams. So when you make a statement like that, it's like you assume that's what's going on. And that's incorrect.
Pop getting loose. Is that one of your, Matt, you've covered enough press, post, and pregame. Is one of your worst nightmares being lectured by Greg Popovich?
I have Popovich is one of the few coaches who I've never asked a question to out of pure fear. Pure fear. And
you don't want to be that guy, do you?
I'm not afraid to admit it. But, like, I know people who have gotten that from Pop, but in a more loving way than what this guy got.
Yeah.
And, like, there's actually two parts to this for me. Because on one hand, I understand what the reporter's saying, and I understand where he's coming from. And I think Pop is going a little overboard with, like, we don't blow teams out. Yes,
you, yeah, you
like,
do.
Team USA, you've demolished teams and made them look terrible.
I understand
in the
point he was trying to make, but to your point, yes, you have demolished teams over
but
the years.
But that's one portion of it. The rest of this I love because it's Popovich saying, look, don't disrespect teams, especially after what Stephen A. Smith said. Don't
teams you lost to.
Don't disrespect teams like Nigeria and Australia. Like, these are they're featuring NBA talent. They work hard. They play hard. They beat us. It's a legitimate victory. Mm-hmm. We're still the favorites. We're still Team USA. We're still the juggernaut. But don't disrespect the rest of the competition around the world because basketball is a growing global game. Yeah. I appreciate that from Popovich.
Yeah, and again, these teams, as we discussed, these teams have NBA players. So they can play basketball. They're going to compete with you. They're probably not going to beat you come tournament time. But it just goes to show, no, man, when you get a group of NBA players together, if they are playing as a team and Team USA is just kind of still trying to find their way, you're going to lose.
The beauty of basketball,
it
too, in one-off games is anything can happen. Anybody can beat anybody on any given night, unlike a seven-game series when the best teams won't lose four times.
Allegedly. We'll take a break.
Yeah! That was nice!
Coming up next.
All right, Khabib Nurmagomedov. I'm just going to go with Khabib. I can never pronounce his last name. He has thoughts on Conor McGregor, and so do we, because that story is not dying. Is the Home Run Derby the best all-star game festivity in all of sports? And the Washington football team is still going to be the Washington football team next season. But what about the following seasons? We'll discuss it all next in Three for Madness.
One, two, three.
It's Three for Madness time. Three for Madness. Three questions, three answers.
One, two, three. Woo!
It's Three for Madness. Here's question one.
Three for Madness time. Coming up at 7:30, it'll be halftime. 7:40, we'll get back into the Home Run Derby and preview the All-Star game real quick, more or less. Previous Shohei Ohtani. 7:50, is Team USA basketball in trouble? They might be. Again, we'll get into all of that. Right now, though, it is Three for Madness. Matt George, question number one.
Khabib says that Conor McGregor is done and that the UFC needs to move on. Do you agree?
Yeah, I mean, I brought this up yesterday and I'll bring it up again. The Conor McGregor character, the heel character, the talk mad you know what about everything and get ever it was good. It was good for storytelling, but it's starting to get to the point where A, he's losing fights and losing pretty bad. Like Conor got, you know, destroyed by Poirier. Khabib destroyed him. So we know he's not really the same fighter he was anymore. And now his antics are really what is dominating the storyline, and they're getting to a point where this guy will legitimately say anything.
Yeah.
And I do mean anything just to get attention. The circus is getting out of hand, and I think it's about time to close it.
Yeah, Conor, I still stand by what I said yesterday, that Conor is still a massive entertainment factor to me. And looking at it purely from the sport, I don't buy that he fully lost this fight on Saturday, although I know by technicality he lost the fight, but he lost because of an injury.
He was getting dominated prior to the injury.
I would not say dominated. Dominated is a stretch. I thought Conor was winning the stand-up game, the ground game, I think Poirier had, but I would not say dominated. I thought it was pretty even, maybe a slight edge. But I will say that the comments and the video that have come out of some of the things that McGregor said while leaning against the cage after the fight, before and during Poirier's interview with Joe Rogan, are way overboard. And what I'm talking about is him putting his fingers to his head in like a gun motion, like shooting in the head, and saying that he was going to, or alluding to, I don't know what he said exactly, so I don't want to quote him, but basically alluding to or saying that he would kill Poirier and his family and his wife. And that is well past the line of entertainment.
Well, and it's not just that. There were tweets that he tweeted out that have since been deleted of him basically saying, you know, I'm a really bad guy, and it would be with a picture of Poirier and his child, and I'm like, dude.
McGregor,
when you start dragging family into it, it's when, like we said, the entertaining heel is no longer a thing. Now you're just like a really crap person. I wish I could say the other word on air because that's how I actually feel. And it's not, to me, it's not entertaining anymore. To me, it's just like, dude, it's time to go away.
McGregor has pushed the envelope and pushed the line of what is acceptable and what is entertainment. We mentioned yesterday some of the things that he said that are definitely racist during the build-up and selling of the boxing match with Floyd Mayweather, mm-hmm. right? And there's always been the underlying, oh, it's Conor, it's entertainment.
Right.
And, I mean, even to an extent, him talking about Poirier's wife being in the DMs or being in his DMs, like, there is a level of trash talk entertainment to that, even if it's crossing a line that a lot of people don't want to cross, bringing mm-hmm. family into it, which I completely understand. But that is still, I can still sell as a Conor McGregor entertainment sure. value. Threatening to kill people... when you are someone with the influence and power that McGregor has and money that McGregor has, to me, is dangerous.
Yeah.
Very, very dangerous, whether you're sincere or not. He might think he's doing it to sell the fight, but there are people that will believe him and maybe carry it out, which scares people.
Right, and to your point, though, he will sell one more fight. There is one more fight here. There is one more big money
payment. It's already sold.
But if he loses, I hope that is the end. Like, I really, really do.
Did you see Ronda Rousey on Twitter say, like, mm-hmm. praise him for selling the fight?
Yeah.
While injured?
Yeah.
Okay, Rhonda.
I get what she's trying to do, but it's like, not okay, right Rhonda. Now. Let's not do that right now with everything else going on. Cut number two.
Question two.
Or question two, whichever you prefer.
Not a cut, a question.
Used to be a cut.
And the question is the Home Run Derby the best all-star game festivity in any sport?
I tell you what, after last night, yes.
I tell
a
you
resounding
what.
Yes. That was fun. The bracketed format, you have stars, you have everybody out there, the showmanship. It was perfect. It's the most fun I've had watching an all-star festivity in a long, long time. So, yeah, no. Home Run Derby to me, greater than the dunk contest, greater than the three-point shootout. It's better than all of it.
Give me the bunting contest that they have in international. A couple different international baseball leagues do bunting contests, which are actually pretty rad. I'm joking.
I was going to say, do they play pepper too?
The Home Run Derby was phenomenal. I still prefer the three-point contest.
The three-point contest is a close second.
The three-point contest is number one to me. The Home Run Derby last night was great, but I will always tune in more and care more about a three-point contest than I will a Home Run Derby. That's just because of my love of basketball compared right. to the baseball, so that's just for me personally. But in terms of entertainment value, last night's Home Run Derby was fantastic.
Yeah, no, again, I just think that you just really can't beat it. I love the three-point contest, too. I was talking with Pat down the hall, and he was like, it's better than the dunk contest. I'm like, Pat, everything's better than the dunk contest
at this point.
I think the dunk contest, like, it's right down there with, like, Pro Bowl stuff, like what they do at Pro Bowl weekend.
It's
higher than it, but not much these
days.
Pro Bowl sucks.
Everything Pro Bowl sucks. Dodgeball, whatever they do, it sucks. It's
the
all
dunk
garbage.
Contest is snooze fest worthy at this point, just like all the Pro Bowl stuff. All right, question number three.
Question three.
All right, last question. The Washington football team will not announce a permanent name and logo until 2022. Should they just stick with the football team?
Yes!
Why?
It's unique.
It's terrible.
Nobody else has ever done it.
It's boring.
People know exactly who it is when you talk about it. But boring's not always bad. Subtle is not always a bad thing.
That's not subtle. That's just bland
no,
and
it's
uninventive.
Subtle. It's very subtle. You say that, except nobody else has ever done it. And they stick out. I like the color scheme. Just stick with it.
Well, the color scheme's fine.
They're going to screw up if they pick a name. Like, you know they will mess that up.
I don't think so. There are plenty of names to choose from.
That doesn't mean they won't mess it up.
They don't have to go back to what they had, and we all know the controversial past of what they had. Anything's going to be better than that. But the Washington football team is, for like the greatest football league, one of 32 teams in the greatest... 30? 32?
32.
32. One of 32 teams in the greatest league, arguably the greatest league in sports, period, in the world, to have your team name be the Washington football team is dull, boring,
but
lame,
they're the
change
state
it.
Capital...
Who cares?
The state capital. They're the nation's capital.
Then call yourself... Well, the Capitals are already a hockey team. But, like, then pick
call
something...
Call yourself what?
There's plenty of things. The politicians.
The congressman?
Anything.
Sure, that's better than the football
the
team.
The Washington House of Representatives?
The Washington football team.
We already had the Washington Senators, like so you can't use that.
A boys club at the YMCA.
Oh, but the Washington politician sounds amazing.
A lot better than the Washington football team.
Yeah, man, the Washington Presidents. That'll sound good.
That one's not
they
as
are
good.
Going to, they are going to miss on this so bad if they try to change the name. I'm telling you now, Dan Snyder does not make good decisions literally with anything in his life, and you want it. You're going to trust Dan Snyder to pick a mascot?
Actually, you're right. You're right. He doesn't make good decisions because the Washington football team is not a good decision.
It's
a
better, listen,
horrible decision.
The Washington football team is the best decision Dan Snyder has made as the owner of that franchise.
No.
Fine. What's a better one?
Well, I mean, maybe. But no.
There you go.
The Washington football team is a terrible name. They need to change it. I don't mind waiting until 2022 as long as this damn name gets changed.
You know
it's
what?
Boring.
If they keep it at the Washington football team, I just might convert to a football fan.
Go for it. Go for it. Have
you
at
see
it.
How fun that is?
Go ahead and be a Washington football fan.
You see
fan.
How fun that is, though, when you say, who are you a fan of? Football. Well, duh. No.
It's not
the
fun.
The football team. Yeah, which one?
No, that's stupid.
It's kind of fun.
No, it's not. It's dumb.
God, you are so
Washington
lame,
football team
dude.
Is boring as hell.
You're boring as hell.
I am. Let's I should play for the Washington football team.
Let's take a break.
Yeah! That was nice.
Coming up next.
Washington football team.
It's not good. It's not good.
Halftime is on the way. Team USA gets another loss in basketball. Sorry, I just had to process that whole thing again.
Did you just break?
I did. I just broke. I'm like, wait, they lost twice again? We'll give you more details about that. The All-Star game tonight with a hell of a storyline and a little more on last night's home run derby all coming up next.
Same Carmichael Dave time, same Carmichael Dave channel, but a new text line number at 916-339-1140. The Carmichael Dave Show returns now.
Feel free to use the text line number, the voice guy said, 916-339-1140. Remember, only nice text gets read on this version of the show. 1-800-920-1140. That is if you want to get in and say nice things on the radio to us. Again, no negative Nancys on a Tuesday when it's the Jay and Matt show. Just letting you know right now. Sports 1140 KHTK on
Unless
YouTube.
Unless you like the Washington football team as a name.
Nope.
Then it's negative.
Nope. Then you're smart.
No.
And again, Sports 1140 KHTK on YouTube. Get in there, watch, subscribe, chat, and more importantly, Matt, what is today's wrestling finishing hold for the like button?
Ooh, let's do the rock bottom. Rock bottom the like button.
Rock bottom that like button right now. Sports 1140 KHTK on YouTube. Get in there, subscribe, and watch us. And man, hit the rock bottom. And if you're feeling really, really, really good, throw a little people's elbow on it as
so,
well.
So, okay. I'm glad you brought that up because the people's elbow is
the worst finishing move in wrestling history.
It's probably the only lame thing The Rock has ever done other than some movies.
Okay.
The people's elbow sucks.
The move itself isn't lame. The move itself as a finisher was awful.
The most electrifying move in sports entertainment. Okay.
He took the elbow pad off and threw it. What are you talking
about? Whoa. It's like John Cena's five-knuckle shuffle. It's like...
It's the same thing.
It's like you just bonked him on the head a little bit. Wrestling.
Not even a little bit. It's wrestling.
Kind of tapped him.
You just kind of... Yeah, your knuckles might have grazed the forehead, maybe.
Little bop.
Killed him.
Little bop.
Dead. Three count. Never. Ending careers with the five
also,
knuckles.
Also, everybody knows the attitude adjustment was cooler when it was called the FU.
I agree.
And his STF was a lot cooler when it was STFU.
I agree.
And then he became Super Cena, but then he became the bad guy in the new Fast and Furious, which is probably the pinnacle of his career.
Which is also what he should be forever as a bad guy. John Cena is such a perfect heel, but we could go on.
John Cena
we could do a wrestling tangent all day and we're not going to. Chiseled chin, chiseled jawline, just chiseled everywhere, that John Cena. All right, well, now that the homoerotic segment of the show is over, we're going to get to halftime here in just a second, but... We were both reading in the break, Matt. Shams Charania tweets out a story for The Athletic that the 76ers have opened up trade conversations surrounding Ben Simmons, having engaged with teams. So here's the interesting part. I think we both opened it up looking to see if they were naming team names. They haven't. So no, we don't know if Sacramento is one of them. Although I would be willing to bet a significant sum of money that Daryl Morey and his old buddy Monty McNair have at least had a text message exchange.
Oh, I'm sure.
at the very least.
Give him Buddy Hield and 2 second rounders. Does that get the job done? Ask for Tyrese Maxey, too.
I'm glad you said that, because according to Shams, the 76ers want an all-star caliber player in return. So for those of you with the dreams of Buddy Bagley and a pair of first-rounders for Ben Simmons, I am here to tell you your dreams are simply that. They're just dreams. They're not a reality.
Fox and Halliburton aren't going anywhere, so.
No, and even then, I don't know if Fox gets the deal done, if they're truly seeking an all-star caliber, unless you attach him with, you know, three firsts, three pick swaps.
I think Fox would get the deal done. I think Fox is good enough.
Yeah, but you need picks, though,
Fox can attack the basket like Simmons. He can actually shoot the three, and he's going to be an all-star. Like, De'Aaron Fox is going to be an all-star.
You still would have to attach picks to him, though.
I don't think so.
Oh, you're tripping. You are out of your mind if you think a straight swap of Fox or
Simmons. Oh, I'm not saying straight swap, but I don't think you're going to have to attach multiple first-rounders to him.
I think you'd have to do two. I think you'd have to do this year's 9 and at least a protected pick in 23.
Then I overvalue De'Aaron Fox because I would not even come close to doing that.
That just makes you a Kings fan, sir.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
That is the classic MO of all Kings fans, overvalue players on the current roster.
Well, it's one thing to overvalue De'Aaron Fox. It's another thing to overvalue Buddy Hield, Marvin Bagley, or whoever's number 14 on the roster.
With you on that.
Everybody loves.
Yeah, I saw that tweet go
I would not do that. I would pick De'Aaron Fox over Ben Simmons. Easy.
Oh, you're on that train.
Yes.
Interesting.
Because I think
I'm on the complete opposite one.
De'Aaron Fox is going to be an all-star. De'Aaron Fox can shoot the three. He can get to the basket. De'Aaron Fox proved last season that he can be a superstar to put the team on his back.
He also needs a lot of help.
Yes, he does need a lot
De'Aaron
of help.
Fox. He needs so much help.
But, okay, you take De'Aaron Fox out and put Ben Simmons in this exact same situation. Tell me this Kings team is better.
They are. They're a better team. Ben Simmons is a better player than De'Aaron Fox. It's okay to admit it, guys.
Mm.
Ben Simmons is a better player.
Mm.
You don't think Ben Simmons is a better player than De'Aaron Fox?
I think Ben Simmons is a significantly better defender.
Ben Simmons is a better player.
Mm.
Just because De'Aaron can shoot the three better.
I think two years ago, I'd say absolutely. Right now, I don't think so. I think it's pretty close to even, and I would rather have Fox than Simmons.
I don't
personally.
Think it's particularly close to being even. We can discuss this more at 8:05 because we're going to be playing. Buddy Hield joined Chris Haynes on his Yahoo podcast yesterday. And Buddy, while I know they're not everyone's the biggest fan of Buddy, I like Buddy personally. I like Buddy's honesty. And Buddy has some very direct answers when it comes to his time in Sacramento, if he thinks he's going to be here next season, and also advice he would give Marvin Bagley. We're going to do that at 8:05, but right now let's get into halftime.
You guys suck. That's how my coach used to get me fired up at halftime.
It's halftime. As we get into the second half of the show, here's what we've been looking at so far and what we'll be talking about next.
Looking for Lillard. Durant a three. Too strong. And Dellavedova with a great punch out to Ingles for the exclamation point. Australia up by 8 with 3 seconds left. And it's 2 straight losses for Team USA in Las Vegas. 91-83, Boomers.
Team USA dropping their second straight exhibition loss, that one to Australia, a team playing without Ben Simmons, coincidentally, last night. Beating Team USA, Matt, this is the first time Team USA, I believe, has lost either back-to-backs or 2 games at all in exhibition play since pro players started playing in the Olympics in 1992.
I think it's the latter. I think I remember reading that last night. But yeah, crazy. Just crazy. I mean, Team USA, they look fatigued. They look like they're getting used to playing together. And the reality is every time Team USA takes the floor, they're going to take on hungry competition who wants to play them and wants to prove themselves against them. So it's not going to be a walk in the park. We knew that already. But now I think it's showing that the gap has shrunk between Team USA and the rest of the world a little bit. Mm-hmm. Not massively, but a little bit. That being said, Team USA is still the favorite. I expect them to get right by the Olympics.
Team USA is still the most talented roster in the Olympics, and it's not particularly close. But to your point, because of the way the game has expanded globally now, you see teams like Nigeria who have legit NBA players on them. They can go in there and compete now. You saw Australia. They have guys like Joe Ingles, Matthew Dellavedova. These are guys that are NBA-level players. Joe Ingles is actually good, believe it or not. And you're talking about Australia team that I just said. They're missing their best player. He's not playing in the Olympics in Ben Simmons, and they still go out there and they beat USA in exhibition action. Now, let's remember something. This is exhibition. These guys have not had a lot of practice time. It's not exactly a roster that's constructed in a team sense so more as it's just like, hey, let's just get the best players we can and try to figure it out. And I think they will. Like, it's not a good look to lose to Australia and Nigeria in back-to-back exhibition games. But I don't think this means that Team USA is on the road to demise. But what I do think it is, it should perk your ears and your eyes up to the point that, no, they have to take this serious because they could be upset in Olympic play. It is a possibility.
Yeah, it's not time to hit the panic button by any means. But at the same time, too, I hope this opens the eyes of even Team USA themselves of, okay, we gotta play hard because this is not going to be teams aren't going to roll over for us just because our roster is stacked.
Better believe that. All right, halftime.
Halftime.
Is he going to hit the scoreboard? He's one away from tying.
He just won it.
Pete Alonso, home run derby champ again.
And he had 31 seconds left on the clock.
Pretty spectacular performance, I got to tell you.
It was awesome. It was fun. It was great. Pete Alonso getting his second straight home run derby title going back to back. Obviously, there was no home or all-star weekend last year. Oh, not even all-star weekend. All-star week. Mm-hmm. All-star couple days. What does baseball call it? Because it's not a weekend.
All-star period. I've heard people refer to it.
All-star days. There was no all-star anything last year because of the pandemic in baseball. Pete Alonso obviously won it in 2019 in dramatic form. Just a fun home run derby last night. We've been talking about it all morning. The showmanship, the idea of having some of the best hitters in baseball. Matt, you know, you hit on it. Just having guys around there just enjoying themselves. Other players that aren't even in the home run derby getting into it, talking with guys in between rounds. It was so fun last night. And baseball is a sport that from a PR standpoint, takes L after L after L after L after L. Finally, baseball gets a win last night with a really fun home run derby.
And you know why they did it? Because they let their stars be in the front and center.
Right.
They let their stars be themselves. They let them play with personality, and they showed off their stars, and baseball took a back seat. And mm-hmm. That's what baseball needs to learn and recognize, is that the reason why the NBA is where it's at, the reason why the NFL is where it's at, of course, there's a love for the game, and that is the foundation that will always be there. I love basketball. I like football. But the star players are what people tune in to watch for. Fernando Tatis Jr. should be on everybody's screen and in everybody's name. Like, everybody should know that name. Shohei Ohtani, everybody should know that name. They failed miserably with Mike Trout. I do understand that Trout isn't necessarily the personality that Tatis is, but Shohei Ohtani isn't this amazing personality either. He lets his game do the talking and apparently needs an interpreter, which is a problem for Stephen A. Smith, I guess.
Let's not do that.
So, baseball just needs to recognize what they have mm-hmm. in these star players and, one, market them, and, two, just let them be themselves and let the fan base gravitate naturally towards them because they are must-see attractions.
Like, dude, if you have a Sunday night baseball matchup on ESPN and it's Padres-Mets, right, don't push Padres-Mets. Push Fernando Tatis versus Pete Alonso.
Yes.
That is what baseball lacks so much. And to your point, it was on display last night. It was on display in both the best and worst possible way for baseball. I just hope that they can learn from the home run derby. Like, hey, we got something here with these stars. I don't know. Maybe we should do something with it. Speaking of stars, it is All-Star Game tonight.
Halftime.
It's an incredible feeling. To be named to the Ace All-Star Game and now my fourth time to start it. It's an incredible honor. When you step in the room with a room full of all-stars and you get the ball, that's a special feeling. It's really hard to put into words. So for Dave to select me again, to give that honor to me with the quality of arms that are in the National League this year, I'm very blessed and very thankful for that opportunity.
That is Max Scherzer. He is the starting pitcher for the National League side. Speaking about Dave Roberts giving him the opportunity to start again, he will be going opposite one Shohei Ohtani. So this is fun.
Good luck.
This is great. They decide to hit Shohei leadoff and start him in the first inning. Kevin Cash, manager of the Tampa Bay Rays, decided to do this, and here's his comments on why.
Shohei was voted in as the DH.
and he was one of the five starting pitchers voted in by the players, I think we would all respect what he's done and meant to our game this year. This is what the fans want to see. It's personally what I want to see.
Yeah. And here's him talking even more about that, having to tweak some rules to make sure that, you know, the idea that Ohtani could both pitch and hit in the first inning was a legit thing.
I begged Major League Baseball to tweak the rule for today's game, because if they didn't, I know I'd screw it up the rest of the way, pulling pinch hitters and DHs. So for this game, we're going to be allowed to use Shohei as two players. He will be the starting pitcher and the DH, and when he's done pitching, he can remain in the game, and then we can transfer in the next DH after his day is over at the plate.
Good on Kevin Cash, man.
Mm-hmm.
Good on Kevin Cash, and good on Major League Baseball for realizing what they had on their hands. Again, Kevin Cash does not manage Shohei Ohtani. Kevin Cash has no dog in that fight, so to speak. But Kevin Cash, the manager of the Rays, recognizing, like, no, the All-Star game is about the fans. That is 100% what this game is about. It's about the fans and displaying the best talent we have in our game for them. And when you have a guy who has had the season that Shohei Ohtani has had from both the plates and from the mound, you had to find a way to make that happen. Give us all what we wanted. Matt, I know you're like me. You are going to be tuned into the first inning, right? You are going to be tuned in to watch Ohtani start and then see him at the plate.
Shohei Ohtani is the only reason I'm paying attention to the All-Star game tonight. And I don't have any problem saying that, even with Matt Olson representing the Oakland A's. Like,
and
I
Chris
just,
Bassett.
And, yeah, and Chris Bassett. Yes, you're right. Yeah, Shohei Ohtani is the reason to pay attention. And I really don't mean that as a disrespectful slight to the rest, because there's so many great All-Stars to pay attention to. But, I mean, no pun intended, Shohei is the show. Shohei is what people want to see. And the mm-hmm. fact that MLB is, again, leaning into that, putting him on the mound right away, putting him in the batter's box right away, giving the people what they want from Shohei Ohtani, that is great. That is what baseball needs to do, so I applaud them for that.
Yeah, here's Dave Roberts talking about, you know, being the manager opposing Shohei Ohtani and whether or not he thought Shohei would be able to do both in the All-Star game.
Did you think it was possible for him to be able to do both at the same time the way he's doing it right now?
Well, we did. We wanted him. He didn't pick us.
So did we.
So we did, but until you know, you don't. And so to see it kind of play out like it has, we're all fans of baseball, and to see something that really hasn't been done in generations is, where in my opinion, it's the best talent ever in baseball, 1 through 850 or whatever, and for him to be this marquee player, it's remarkable.
I'm sorry, I misspoke there. That's him talking about Ohtani. Just could he do that, period, in Major League Baseball, but the point still remains. And yes, the Dodgers did want Shohei Ohtani, and he picked the wrong LA team, as we all know.
I'm so glad Shohei.
But I'm glad Roberts put it in that perspective. He is one of over 800. Like, and it's not particularly close with what he's able to do.
Thank God Shohei Ohtani's not a Dodger. I don't like that he's an Angel, but thank God he's not a Dodger.
Oh, come on. If he were a Dodger, don't you think there would be way more of the correct buzz around him? Like,
no.
We would be talking about him so much more if he didn't play for the freaking Angels.
No,
it's a tragedy he's in the Angels.
People already talk about Shohei Ohtani a ton regardless of where he's played, and that's been since the day he joined the Angels. The Dodgers don't need more talent, you greedy son of a gun.
No, it's not that. Listen,
you don't get him.
Listen.
You don't get everything, Mr. L.A.
I'm not saying, and I'm not Mr. L.A., you know I don't refer to any other L.A. team. I'm not saying that as a Dodger fan that is being greedy. I am saying that as a baseball fan who wants to see this amazing story put out there even more than it already is. The whole idea that I'm a Dodger fan is just coincidental. I want to see that story told even more, and I'm telling you, the story would be told better because, and this is bad on baseball, but it is what it is. If he played for a relevant team, okay? And that relevant team doesn't have to be the Yankees or the Dodgers.
There we go.
That relevant team could have been the Giants, the Padres, the A's. That relevant team could have been the Tampa Bay Rays. It's the fact that he plays for one of the top five most irrelevant franchises in baseball kills me.
So I agree with that to some extent. But in terms of the Dodgers comments, I'm giving you that Bradley Beal gif of, you know, the in the tunnel looking at like, I'm trash.
I wish I could take a picture of this right now, you with your hands on your hips.
I mean, but I get what you're coming. Yeah, it sucks that Shohei Ohtani is with the Angels, who have failed for so many years with Mike Trout.
Like, how fun would Shohei Ohtani be with the A's? And just that story with that personality and that clubhouse would be awesome.
The A's would have sold him by now or traded him.
You're right. He would have been gone for the number three prospect in the Yankees.
Hell, put Shohei Ohtani on the Rockies just so he can be in Coors Field always.
Okay, well, there's an interesting perspective on it because from a home run standpoint, super fun. Right. But is he the pitcher he is if he's playing in Coors Field?
That's a good point. Oh, but give Shohei Ohtani – actually, put Shohei Ohtani in Oakland so he can have all that foul ball territory.
Did you see last night, not in the actual derby itself, but in warm-ups, him literally almost take one out of the actual stadium?
Yeah, he's ridiculous.
God, it kills me. Like when he's walking to the plate last night and I see that stupid Angels jersey. It's a dumb jersey. I have said this before and I stand by this statement.
We've touched a nerve.
Oh, you've touched a nerve, all right. I think the Angels are a worst franchise over the last 10 years from performance than the Sacramento Kings. And I stand by that, and here's why. The Sacramento Kings have not signed multiple stars, like top-level talent, to major contracts the way the Angels have. Let's go back. There's been Pujols. There's been Josh Hamilton. There's Anthony Rendon. You have Mike Trout on your roster. Who else? Upton, you signed to a big deal. You signed all these star players. Never addressed your pitching, by the way. And you have one playoff appearance in the last 10 years and you didn't even win a game with all of that talent being signed and all that money spent on MVP level players. You're worse. The Kings can't say that. The Kings can't go out and say, hey, we signed, you know, all NBA third team player Y, all-star X. They can't say that.
They've tried.
The Angels have actually accomplished this goal of bringing in major talent and still suck.
I will say, the Angels are the biggest failure franchise in recent baseball history, for sure. Maybe total baseball history, just with the amount of talent that they've brought in. And
the fact they have a World Series is amazing. That whole 2002, like, it's I'll never call it a fluke, but boy, it just, like, when you think about it, it's like, oh yeah, the Angels won a World Series in the last 20 years. It's like, they have? Because they ain't done nothing in the last 10 with all that talent they have.
Mm-hmm.
I would say. Because, and again, I just lean on the argument that because of the talent they brought in, to your point, I don't think, who could be a bigger failure? Like the Pirates? Do we even count that? I think even they've had a couple wild card appearances.
Yeah, but the Pirates haven't blatantly purchased talent and had the best player in baseball on their team for his entire career.
Like, yes.
Mike Trout is still, even with as great as Shohei Ohtani is, as great as Fernando Tatis Jr. and Vlad Guerrero Jr. and these guys are, Mike Trout is still the best player in baseball, just in terms of overall package. Like, Mike Trout is fast, he can mash, he's a good hitter other than hitting home runs, and he can play defense. Like, Mike Trout is the best overall player in baseball.
So we have Ohtani doing what he's doing, and Trout's been hurt for the majority of the year.
Correct.
Do you think Trout would be a big enough difference maker if he was healthy? Do you think the Angels would be competing for the West right now just off of those two players, given how awful their pitching is?
I would say no, because Shohei can only do so much, and he can only pitch once every 5 days. Like, that's really it. Like, I think they'd be better. I think they might be hovering around where the A's are right now, but the Astros would still be better than both teams.
I think the Astros would be better than both teams, but to your point, I think the Angels and A's would be duking it out for that last wild card spot. I think the Angels with Trout are better than the Mariners, who are the team behind the A's right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think they would be sitting something like 2.5 back of Oakland, maybe 1.5 back for that final wild card spot, which still, given the fact that you have Trout and Ohtani on your team, and that's kind of your shooting for that last wild card spot, says a lot about how poorly that roster's been constructed.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. So tonight, All-Star Game, again, we've talked about it at length. Ohtani is the starting pitcher for the AL, and he will bat leadoff, and then he is allowed to DH. They'll probably get him two at bats.
I imagine.
He can stay in and DH after he is done pitching.
He'll probably be on like the third, depending upon how many.
That's what I want to get to. How quickly do you think the ratings drop after Ohtani is done pitching and hitting. I feel like everybody is going to be gathered around and watching the first inning at minimum, and I think you're going to see a high number there. Are you going to tune out after that? Do you care after Ohtani's done?
It's hard to say.
Like, are you going to sit around and wait for Chris Bassett to get an inning in?
On the surface, no. If the game is good and if there are other, like, really good performances, like a la Fernando Tatis Jr. is playing really well, or depending upon how long he goes, or Vlad Guerrero Jr., or other things like that, maybe I might stick around for that. But I don't know if I've watched a full nine inning of an MLB All-Star game ever in my life.
I haven't.
I don't think I ever have in my life. So I'm definitely going to be watching the first three, four innings. The ratings, I think, will drop off, but I think it'll still be background noise for a lot of people.
Sure.
Not for me, though.
No, for baseball fan, yes. For diehard baseball fan, yeah, they'll keep it on no matter what. In the background, not in the background, paying attention. But you're going to get a lot of casual fans who probably haven't really sniffed around the MLB All-Star game in years because, let's face it, what has there really been to watch when you have an All-Star game and nobody knows who's playing in it? You finally have this name in it, and I think you're going to get that casual baseball fan who hasn't really, you know, been around a lot coming in for that first inning.
Have there been anywhere publicized international numbers for the home run derby last night?
I'm sure they're somewhere. I haven't seen
I would love to see what they are for last night, and then I would love to see what they are for tonight's game, because Shohei Ohtani alone is bringing in such a massive audience, obviously from Asia and from Japan, but, I mean, all over the world, people care about and know who Shohei Ohtani is. Mm-hmm. And I mean, baseball is a global game to the sense that, like, so much talent. I would say the majority of the best talent comes from out of the United States at this point.
Oh, God, yeah.
So, like, I'm fascinated to see what the international numbers are and how those carry over through the four innings or whatever, however long Shohei Ohtani's in the game.
And if you are a fan of the local Bay Area teams, the A's have two All-Stars, Chris Bassett was an All-Star replacement. He'll be playing tonight. He wants to get some work in. I know he said he does.
Almost as many as the Rays.
Yes.
The
Rays have what, 11?
11. They posted the picture of the All-Star team at Coors Field, which, by the way, Coors Field, the center field with the fountains and the pine trees, really good. I like that a lot. But they took a picture in front of there, and it's just it's like all Rays guys and then a sprinkle of others. And there's like three Red Sox or four Red Sox. There's like four Toronto Blue Jays. So some teams have good representation, but
Toronto Blue Jays have an A as an All-Star.
Yes.
Shout out Marcus Semien, who's starting tonight, by the way.
The Rays, and the entire front row, with the exception of like two guys, is just Rays. And it's like, okay, all right, Tampa.
Isn't it crazy to think the Rays have 11 and the A's have two, and just two seasons ago they met in the wild card matchup?
Like, and appropriately, and by the way, the A's got bounced.
And the A's got into the divisional round last year. I mean, I know the Rays got to the World Series, but the only reason the A's have two All-Stars is, again, because of injuries. Bassett's not originally an All-Star, so Olsen was the only one actually selected to the team. So if you're an A's fan, you get Bassett and Olsen tonight. If you're a Giants fan, Buster is not playing. Posey was originally selected to the All-Star team. He is not playing. I think Kevin Gausman isn't playing either. I got to double check that, but you know, their guys that were voted in were Posey, Gausman, and Crawford. I believe Crawford is playing. Did they have anybody? I don't think they had another guy after that.
I thought it was just three for the Giants.
It's just three for the Giants. I don't think they had an injury replacement. So I don't think Gausman's playing. I know Buster Posey is not playing, so you'll be looking for Brandon Crawford. But, hey, an All-Star game that we actually care about, even if it's for a couple innings tonight, I'm in. I'm down. This is going to be a lot of fun. We're going to take a break.
Yeah! That was nice!
Coming up next.
All right. Buddy Hield joined Yahoo's Chris Haynes for a podcast. Some very honest answers about his time in Sacramento, specifically that 2019 Dave Yeager team. I want to play those comments. Whether or not he thinks he's going to be a king next year, and any advice he would have for Marvin Bagley, all that coming up next.